The Trump presidency is built on America first. Not exactly the most popular message at a place like the United Nations, which is built on multilateralism. So there's your backdrop. As President Trump today delivers his third address at the UN General Assembly in New York, he hinted yesterday that he's going to talk about Iran, an issue where the U.S. has stood largely alone recently. But yesterday, the U.K., France, and Germany joined the U.S. in calling Iran responsible for attacks on Saudi oil facilities. We have Mary Kate Carey with us. She was a speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush for 4 years. She now teaches political speechwriting at the University of Virginia. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So how can President Trump give an effective speech at this venue today?
Well, he has a tremendous opportunity if he chooses to take it. The thing that I would advise if I was his speechwriter is I would remind him that speeches give you the opportunity to define problems and solutions on your own terms. They allow you to lay out a vision for the future, and they allow you to issue a call to action and help build coalitions, which is very important at the UN. Hmm. And I think it'd be great if he outlined some of the overarching principles that his administration said yesterday he'd be hitting, and then fill in with examples and stories. Great speeches have great stories, and there's some great stories he could put in the speech today.
But isn't there an undeniable tension between a president who says that he wants his country to be first and an institution like the United Nations that works together? Like, how do you even tackle that if there's such a fundamental tension?
Well, you know, David, this is the third time he's spoken to the UN. And the first time, you might remember, was very fiery. He called the head of North Korea Rocket Man. He vowed to totally destroy North Korea. The second time, though, he started moving in the direction you're talking about, where he rejected globalism, but he talked a lot about sovereignty and how every nation should be sort of America first in its own way. And I suspect this year will be much more like that second one, where he'll be tamer. He'll talk about coalition. There's a good chance he could call for a Security Council resolution to condemn Iraq's attack on Saudi, as you were saying, Germany and France.
Oh, Iran, you're saying, yeah.
Iran.
Sure.
And so I think, you know, there's ways for him to do that that's still consistent with what he believes.
Who is his real audience? I mean, is it other world leaders and diplomats in that room? Is it American voters? Who's he talking to?
Yeah, I would say in the short run, his primary audience is in that room. He needs to bring some of those people around and get them in the boat for some of the things he'd like. The secondary audience is actually much bigger, which is all the people outside the room, to the voters in the United States, the House Republicans, House Democrats, who are in overdrive the last 24 hours. And that's why he's using Twitter and answering reporters' questions. You know, he gave a speech yesterday on religious freedom that most Republican presidents could have given. But he stuck to his prepared script, but he did tweet on the way into the speech. And I think that's going to be a harbinger for what goes on today. My prediction is he'll stick to his prepared speech, but he'll tweet on the way in. He'll take questions as he's going.
Is that annoying as a speechwriter?
With him, I think it's part of the game. I think I wouldn't bet my bottom dollar on it, but I think he'll probably stay away from climate change in the speech. But he could tweet about it, you know. You just never know with him. That's it's the joy of Donald Trump.
Mary Kate Carey, former speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush. She is now a professor and teaches political speechwriting at the University of Virginia. Thanks for being here as always. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.